Are you busy right now or no?
No.
It doesn't sound like you're very busy.
We're waiting on a truck to come in, but what do you got going on?
You got half an hour for me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm sending you a link.
Okay, let me get to my computer and stuff.
Okay, go freshen up.
Will do.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Bye.
Oh, shit, I talked.
Did you talk to him already?
Huh?
Did you talk to him about us coming on already?
No, he's gonna be surprised. We're recording now. Cedric, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
Why you gotta be bummed out? Hey, I got a question for you. Do you eat your chicken and rice with a fork or a spoon?
Oh, a spoon. A spoon. Chicken and
Do
rice.
Do you eat chicken and rice with a fucking spoon?
Yeah, listen. First of all, my chicken is gonna be cut up into small pieces. And yeah. And so I use my spoon like a shovel. Cause see, with a fork, you got little pieces of rice everywhere and shit. So.
But you eat long grain rice. You don't eat sushi rice. Is that why?
Yeah. See, you like that sticky shit, right?
Yeah.
Nah, I eat regular rice.
Yeah, I guess if you're eating regular rice, you need a spoon.
Yeah.
All right, put these in order. Skinny chick, fat chick, thick chick, muscular chick, skinny fat chick.
Oh man. So, it depends on what you. Man, you really are trying to take my mind off this shit, huh? So it depend. First of all, it depends on your hardware. It depends on what you're working with, and it depends on what you're trying to accomplish, right? If it's just to look at, that's going to be a completely different order than if you trying to handle some business.
So you have a different order for looking at, banging, yeah. And relationship.
Yeah, because. Because some chicks, look, okay, I ain't gonna say chicks because that's like, categorizing, but some bodies are great to look at, but not,
not functional.
Walking down the street is nice to look at, but to see them walk into the bathroom, it's like, ew, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, think about it. So these girls might have real nice body on Instagram, but when you see them standing in the bathroom, they knock their knees touch. You know what I'm saying? And the shit look fucked up, right? So, yeah. Versus a skinny chick might not look so hot on Instagram or walking down the street because she's skinny. But when you doing your thing. All right, so look, you don't need as much hardware with a skinny chick because you ain't got that much meat in the way. You know what I'm saying? But, so you could do more positions and stuff. You ain't got to worry about shit slipping out, But when you got this girl with this big ass, it's going to slip out. You know, you can't really do much about it unless you working with a foot long,
Okay. So Seth, since you're just joining us now, last week on Bodybuilding of Bollocks, we had to list our type of woman. And Seth has and Cedric has just made this extremely complicated, but the order goes.
didn't sound too complicated. I don't got a foot long, so I know what I'm working with.
That's right. No, but the order goes, and you put them in your order. But the types we're talking about are skinny chick, and we're talking like rail skinny. Okay, skinny chick, skinny fat, which is like the average chick, fit. Muscular, thick, and fat.
See, and listen, you also got to think about the mental part of each one of these chicks, too. Because a muscular chick going to have completely different damn issues, than a normal chick. You got to think about that, too.
So we decided, Cedric is saying that the list, that your order in your list is going to be different whether you're looking at, banging, or dating.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, the mental game plays a huge role.
Yeah, huge Seth, role. Check it out. So let's say
you're sometimes afraid.
Right. So let's say you dating this girl, and she's built like, I don't want to say Playboy because they skinny, but like straight up strip club body. Here you are going to the grocery store with this motherfucker and, trying to go to church and shit, and she all voluptuous. You don't want all that attention, with no regular girl. You going to the parent-teacher conference, you know, the janitor and shit looking at your woman, you know.
Okay, well, let's can we get some order to this? Okay, so let's just say, what's the order if you're just looking?
Oh, just looking. Hey, yeah.
What's the order? Put them in order. Put give me your top three or put them all in order. What's if you're just looking?
Now, when you say muscular, how muscular are you talking? Are you
we're talking like bodybuilding, like women's bodybuilding, or like women's physique, like that kind of muscular, and like lean too.
Lean too?
Yeah, lean too.
So what you think? Because I get intimidated by muscular girls, man. I'll be looking at their calves and looking at my calves, and I'm like, man, this motherfucker bigger than me.
I remember that. We used to work at expos, and girls would walk by, and you know, most guys are like, oh, look at that girl's ass, whatever. Cedric would be like, look at that girl's calves.
She's going to make me feel inferior in more than one way. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, man, you sitting here trying to hit it from the back, and her damn lower back fucking flexed up looking better than yours and shit. You can't stay in the mood like that, man.
You'll be like, God damn it. I'm going to do hyperextensions. I'll see you later. I'm done.
Okay, Seth, what do you think? Let's start with an easy one. What about, okay, relationship? Is there an order or doesn't even matter? It's like more personality than anything. For like a relationship, what's the order?
I've been in a few relationships, and I'm in a fucking great one now. And Hannah's pretty voluptuous. She's got some curves on her. She's got huge tits, which they intimidate me. I was never a huge tit guy, but now I am because I've never had them, and they're a lot of fun. What's that?
I say we're gonna ask you this question again in a year and see what you say.
So one of the categories I added last week was skinny with big boobs because that's my wife. So I'm like, that has to be a category because like I like the skinny with big boobs.
Mm-mm. You know, they're all fun. I mean, I kind of look at me like, you know, I'm not the biggest guy in the world. I think you all know that. However, I can pack a mean punch if I need to. I'll get the job done. I'll beat the shit out of the sides. I might not hit rock bottom, but I'm going to beat the sides up. I'm going to do a good job.
First of all, you guys need to quit looking at women in such a subjective manner.
I know, because you're so fucking...
Okay, so look, Fuad, it can't be big boobs because big boobs need a lot of maintenance. And over time, gravity going to take over and they're going to... You know, start dropping.
I don't mind a little bit of hang. That's okay.
Okay. Well, see, you Middle Eastern, but you kind of white though, like with your personality.
Well, Luke used to call me. Luke used to call me a Cadbury egg.
Yeah.
He's like you're brown on the outside. White on the inside.
Because if I just talk to you on the phone, I'm like, nah, this man, he ain't Middle Eastern. White. You know,
he's white.
So I can understand. Hey. And Seth probably like big boobs with the veins and the blue veins. You see on them? He like that shit. Yeah. See, I like the athletic build with kind of medium to small boobs.
You don't like that. Gravity... Like, I've seen what you like. You don't like the athletic build. Yes, you're borderline fat.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between taking what you can get at the time and what you prefer if you go order something. That's the difference. Okay. You know what I mean? So
we still don't have your order. Can you give us an order, please?
Okay, so let me just say this. If it's relationship, long-term relationship, I prefer not real skinny, but I'll say normal. Because over time, as we change and shit like that, like I said, it requires less maintenance. If you get a chick that's stacked up right now, she's a future fat girl, you know, for sure. You know,
I can see that.
She's a future fat girl. That's going to be issues later. And it's cool if you get fat too, but then y'all just going to be two fucking butterballs and, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But so I prefer normal because that's best for all situations. She ain't never going to embarrass you. And even though when we young, we like eye candy, as we get older, I think it's like, all right, you know, then you're going to be like, why the fuck you got to dress, you know, looking like that when all we doing is going to soccer practice for the kids, you know what I'm saying? And you know, shit like that, right? Yeah. So, plus, I think girls with normal bodies and normal looks, they don't try to be seen as much as girls that just all the way stacked up. You know, I think they really, and that's us categorizing and stereotyping. So I hate to attach a personality to it, but the majority of the women that's got amazing ass bodies, they make sure everybody know how amazing their body is too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's change it to like a one night stand. What's your preference?
Okay. I am such a sentimental person, I can never have a one night stand. There has to be an emotional connection. I can never do that. Now, contrary to what you may think of me, because I tell jokes, I'm very sentimental. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. If someone offered me a one night stand, I would have to respectfully decline.
Oh, okay. All right. This is not gonna get answered, obviously.
Very gentlemanly.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, okay.
All right, what's going on?
Come on, man. I mean, you got packaging, but then you got contents. And that's, you know.
Why are you thinking it? Look, ask me.
No, because you already got your shit figured out. You thought about it for a while. You know
what I mean? We answered the question, like I read the question on the podcast, and we all answered it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I probably.
You have to complicate everything. Everything with you is like a fucking maze.
You're right about that, man. You know, and that's a bigger issue that I have too. I can't just do it. Because I'm checking the personality, man. And this person.
Do you care about the personality if you're just banging?
Yes, man, it matters because
why?
Just banging this motherfucker could become a problem later because of the personality. Like, seriously, like, I really, really, like I could talk shit and be like, damn, she fine, but I gotta have something there. You know, I can't just, you know, dig in something just because they look
so
good.
So if you meet a chick and she's dumb as fuck or she's got a shit personality, you can't bang her?
No, because I can't get past that. Like, what can we talk about? Nothing. You know what I'm saying?
And what if you're not talking? What if you meet her at the bar and you're drunk and you just like end up at her house?
I've never done that. I could never do it.
So like, you got to be able to have a conversation.
Yeah, man. I'm real on that mental shit. Like I'm gonna work on that mind for a few weeks and learn all about it. Seth, what she like and don't like.
Seth, what about you? Is he overcomplicating shit? Tell me he's overcomplicating. Tell me I'm not weird and he's weird. Because it's like
y'all two probably used to get drunk as fuck and go party and do shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, Cedric does not want any stage 5 clingers.
Yeah.
Because he's also going to hold dicker. He's not holding back. He's going to give it all. He's going to get to know her. He's going to find out what she likes, what she don't like, and he's going to play the shit out of her, and she's going to fall in love with him.
Yeah.
Because she's going to think, like, yep.
Hold him hostage and feed him sausage.
I remember that.
It's a plan. It's a fucking plan.
So it's like this. What if something happens and you're stuck with this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason, it could be – you know, for whatever reason.
You mean if you got her? You mean if you like you got her pregnant?
It could be anything. It could be you get her pregnant, or you just never know what could happen. You know, I would want. You know, I wouldn't want to get with some shit that I regret later. You know what I'm saying? I would rather for it to be somebody that I could at least be compatible with. You know, stuff like that. Not some shit I'm trying to hide from. You know.
I think Seth understands what you're saying, but I don't think he practices what you're preaching.
No, he don't, because I see how devilish his face is. This motherfucker, yeah. He's trying to get fucked up and party like a motherfucker.
I did have that time in my life. I learned a lot, though. That's kind of why I don't do it anymore, but I've been there.
Yeah.
You learn from experience in life. Seth, and don't let nobody fucking... This son of a bitch, I've seen you in action. You can fucking schmooze a straight man into thinking that you're gay and they love you. You're fucking phenomenal at it.
Seth got a permanent drunk face. Like, he looked like he about half drunk right now. And he ain't, you know,
The last time he was on a podcast with me, not the last time, the time before, everybody thought he was high as fuck. Everybody's like, Seth, yeah. I think Seth's high.
Hey, but you know what?
No, actually just no sleep and stress.
But his personality, though, you could be around him and just talking to him, he make you happy just because he seemed happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why
I got him on here, because it sounded like you needed some cheering up.
Yeah.
I got to tell a story real quick about Cedric.
Yeah.
So everybody knows, not many people, I haven't said this too many times, when we were sponsored at Muscle Tech together.
Oh, shit.
So this was back in the day. We were doing an event together, and then I ended up getting stuck. We were stuck at the airport together. And I wasn't able to fucking, my card kept getting declined and I could not get on the plane. So Cedric came out of left fucking field, came over, paid for my flight, and used his military discount to get my bags checked for free and get me on the plane home to the family.
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest things that somebody's done for me, and I'll never fucking forget it, dude. Never.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's
I know you do.
Like that, though.
I know you do.
Hey, can you name some people who would have did? Can you name some bodybuilders that would have did the opposite? They would have lied, man. Well, I'll holler at you. Fist bump. I'm gone.
He's got that way about him. That's how you are, Cedric.
We were out to eat, and that dude could make anybody blush. It didn't matter who the fuck you thought you were. It was intense.
Oh, okay. You know what? See, you brought up a good point. Now, here we go, Fuad, because now this is something Seth taught me. So we eating hot wings, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the wet kind, the hot, I guess you call them buffalo wings.
Yeah.
Do you use fucking ranch dressing with your wings or not?
Sometimes.
This hot ass wing. Listen to me now, because this was.
I don't eat hot wings though. But if I was gonna, I would dip them in ranch.
Okay, that's stupid because you got a hot. This is what the motherfucker told me. He said no, because when you dip it in the ranch, it makes it less hot. So
that's why I would dip it in the ranch.
Get them hot then. Why get them hot?
I wouldn't get them hot. But if I was gonna, I would dip in the ranch because I don't like hot shit.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
So he got hot-ass wings and dipping them in ranch. So just get some fucking ranch wings then. I don't get it. So that threw me off.
But it's the mix of flavors, though. It's the mix of the hot wing spice with the ranch. It's delicious.
Okay, one more thing, because he did this dumb shit, too. He ordered unsweet tea. He ordered unsweet tea, but then put sweetener in it. So I'm saying, why not just get sweet tea?
That's different. Yeah, you should get the sweet tea.
No, don't give me that shit, dude. Don't give me that shit. I'm short, fat, and white. I can't drink sweet tea. I'm not from the South. I don't have that in me. I can't order sugared tea. I put Splenda in it.
Oh, so
like, that's how it works. Like calorie-free unsweet sweet tea.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you do it for the calories.
So he's trying to diet. He's like secretly dieting.
Yeah, all the time. We go out to eat. We went out to eat in fucking Cedric. Every single place we went, it was he was already ordering, like sitting them down. The hostess would be like, oh, no, your waitress will be over. And he'd be like, well, tell her I would like a salad and a big tall glass of sweet tea. Every fucking place.
I think Seth be lying on me, man. I don't remember this shit, man.
Mm-mm. And then he would coerce. He'd ask every single waitress. He'd get that girl so flustered, and like, oh, what's your favorite desserts? What do you guys have here? And the one place she goes, well, we have a famous big black brownie. And he's like, I bet you do. I'm like, you are feeding right into this motherfucker.
Yeah. She probably knew it though. You have a way with girls like that, man. I don't get it.
It's everybody. Get around him for a fucking full dinner, you will think that you're going home with him later.
Yeah, it's true. And
I just tell jokes, man. That's all.
But it's weird because you're like 6'1", 300 pounds, and girls aren't scared of you.
No, now that's bullshit because, you know, hey, so somebody asked me, man, you got a lot of girls hitting you up in your DM, and I'm like, fuck no, man, and I don't understand why. And somebody told me I was intimidated. And so I said, well, maybe, you know, I mean, you know, maybe I look, I don't know, man, maybe I look like a woman beater or something. I don't know, but I don't get approached.
I don't know about online, but I remember in person. It's weird. Other bodybuilders scare people away. You attract people. So
personality.
It's almost like an energy.
Such a good dude. Yeah.
Maybe so. Because I do believe that that's true. Like, people can exert different types of energy and it attracts other people. You know, just like some people can exude like a negative energy and it pushes people away. You know what I'm saying?
You know how sometimes somebody will ask you like how you're doing, and some people are like, oh, my fucking day is this and that, and they start giving you like their whole like speech about how shit their day is.
Yeah,
I used to see a therapist, and he's like, look, I want you for 2 weeks, I want you, every time somebody comes up to you, say hi, smile. If they ask you how you're doing, tell them you're doing awesome and your day's great, and see what happens. And it fucking works. people were nicer to me. People were like more friendly. People were wanted to talk to me more. It's like an energy you're giving off.
Did that make you feel better when you started doing that? Did it, you know?
It did, because I felt myself like I wasn't like giving my people my fucking problems all day long.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when somebody asks you how you're doing and you all of a sudden just spew this fucking verbal diarrhea on them. It's like you kind of feel bad about yourself and you feel bad for them that you shit on them for like fucking a minute.
Seth, you ever seen a therapist, Seth?
When I was in the third grade.
Better than that, no. You was bad as hell in school.
Wait a minute. You saw a therapist in third grade for what?
I went to a Catholic school. I used to be super anxious. I used to have a ton of childhood anxiety. I was like the mama's boy that had separation anxiety and all this shit. And then the third grade teacher at the time was fucking the principal. So she would come in and she was going through a divorce. So she'd tell all the kids her problems and like wouldn't teach. And then I got super anxious because like this lady had all these problems. Yeah. And I thought like I had problems in the third grade. And then it turns out like everything was fine. It was okay.
Wow.
Hey, so I had to see a therapist in
fifth
grade.
No, no therapy. I just went to
Cedric, wait, he cut out for a second. Go on, Seth.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Seth.
He's cutting in and out, I think.
Oh, no, no. Son of a bitch. You got me now?
Yeah, you're there now. Are you there?
Okay. No, go ahead. You guys are good.
Sorry, okay. Seth.
So you were saying something more about your therapist. Like you said, everything's good now, but what now?
Don't worry. You know, I think his internet.
Oh, you mean me?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Everything. I mean, I went through the most recent was going through my divorce and then her being a drug addict and having to take care of the kids and become a single parent.
Wait, what?
You haven't heard any of this story, Cedric?
No.
See, this is you know what, Seth? Wait a minute.
After this shit, me and you gonna have to catch up, man. Because damn. Okay.
But I think this is part of your problem, Cedric. Is you think everybody else has it like easy, and we all have the same. We all have the same problems you have.
Yeah.
You ever think that?
You know. I know we all have problems. I think the difference is how we react to the problems based on our personalities. I think that's the big difference.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is I think for everybody, right? Like one of the reasons I talk about anxiety on this podcast is because everybody, whatever your problem is, it always feels worse if you're the only one fucking going through it.
True.
Right? Once you know there's like a dozen, 100, 1,000, 10,000 other people going through the same shit you're going through, you're like, oh, maybe I'm not so fucked up. Maybe there's nothing wrong with me. Maybe I just need to deal with it.
Yeah, because when I got hurt, the first person I thought about was Aaron. I was like, shit, it's when he's gonna be pissed or whatever. But I thought about you because I know how, you know, there's been times where you were getting ready for shows and shit, and then all of a sudden you got a stupid ass injury or something come up, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, how the fuck do he deal with that? You know, because I never had that kind of stuff pop up. It's just me, you know, getting ready for a show and trying to navigate work and all of that. So the first person I thought about was you. And then when we talked and you said, yeah, let's get Seth on because, see, he hurt his tricep too. And I'm like, and I immediately said, okay, so I'm not the only one. And like you said, it don't feel like such a small world, you know.
So, Seth, I don't know if you know, but Cedric dislocated his hand and broke his collarbone.
Yeah, yeah.
I just saw it. What was it last night?
Yeah.
I saw it on a repo somewhere.
So here's the deal. So a lot of people always ask too. Oh, you know, especially soldiers and shit. How do you run your 2 miles in the army? How do you run? You're so big. I don't fucking have to run for the fitness test no more. It's been some years now because I'm pretty sure both of you guys know what compartment syndrome is. It's like when the fascia doesn't expand for the muscle as the muscle fills up with blood and shit. The fascia doesn't expand with it. And sometimes a fascia can rupture. It can break.
Yeah.
Well, for that, you know, I have compartment syndrome in my lower leg. So I didn't have to run for the fitness test no more. So I do the bike now. And so when it's time for the fitness test to come around, first of all, I can fucking burn the motor out on the stationary bike. I mean, because we do cardio, getting ready for shows, you know, 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
So that's my time to shine. I love it. But anyway, so I was fucking riding a mountain bike on a little trail out here. Actually, I snuck into some deer hunting land, you know. And so I'm out here riding and going down a hill and around a curve, and somehow lost traction on the back tire, which drifted me off the hill. So here I am, mountain bike off the fucking hill.
Holy fuck. And
the only thing you can think about is, what is going to stop me? You know, because something's going to stop you, right?
Yeah.
So when I came off the bike, I'm not exactly sure what I hit first, but I know I'm in a curve to the left. I know I hit my left hip and my left shoulder. And at some point, as I'm rolling, I think I tried to break my fall with my hand.
Yeah.
Or holding on to the handlebar and going this way. So the back part of my hand is what made the impact. I'm not even sure on what. So if you look at my hand, these four fingers here, they sit on top of hand bones. Uh-huh. Well, either the hand bone got pushed forward or the finger bones got pushed back because the finger bones wasn't sitting on top of the hand bones anymore. They became dislocated. Uh-huh. And so what the doctors had to do was
Cedric, wait.
Stack everything back up.
Are those stitches?
So here's what happened. So when I went to, I sent you some pictures of the first doctor visit.
Yeah.
Well, actually it was the second with the orthopedics. And she said, you know, because all I'm thinking about, is fuck, man, I got to try to get ready for the Olympia. I got to finish getting ready for the Olympia. And, which is something else I'll talk about later. And the nurse said, you're not going to be able to put no pressure on this arm at all from your elbow down, because any pressure you put on it is going to, it could potentially, oh shit. Okay. It could potentially create a problem with all of the soft tissue damage you have connected to your hand. So you're not going to be able to do nothing. So here I am like, Fuad, do you remember when Seth was promoting the isolator fitness?
Yeah, that was his first big promotion.
First fucking thing I thought about, those handless straps. So I'm like, you know, I had already ordered them. I said, so look, my friend used to use some of these straps. I can put it around my forearm. I can do this and do that. She said, look, I got a video where I'm talking to her and explaining it, and she's like this. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No. And every time she said it, I just went further and further down. I'm like, fuck. So anyway, when I got to the surgery, granted, she told me you're not going to be able to do shit. He's probably going to put you in a hard cast to keep everything in place while the soft tissue tears. When I got there, you know, and all of us go through this. When you get to a hospital setting, once everybody sees your muscles, they get so interested, right? You know, oh, wow, what do you do? And so I was talking to him and I said, listen, I'm begging you some kind of way to give me a soft splint, something to where I don't have to stay in a hard cast so I can keep moving my fingers so I don't have as much atrophy, because I want to try to, you know, I want to try to compete. And I explained the straps to him and everything. He was like, yeah, we can do that. He said, the only problem is we're going to have to go in here and weave some wire through your hand bones to hold them in place. If you don't wear a cast, we're going to have to hold everything together with something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. All I know is I didn't want this itchy ass cast on my hand. Then when I take it off, I'm looking like a peg leg. You know what I'm saying? I got one crackhead arm and one regular arm.
Minute. You opted for surgery and wires to connect your bones instead of having a cast?
Well, he said they were going to have to do surgery to get everything lined back up regardless.
Oh, regardless. Okay, okay.
The difference is we can either use this. He said, if everything starts to slip out, I'm going to have to use wire regardless. He said, but if I can get it in there and hold it in place, now if you don't want the cast, we can keep hold it together with some wire, and mm-hmm. then they'll surgically remove the wire later once everything heals. So I said, all I was thinking about, I was like in a tunnel vision, you know, because you was having to tell me, quit being stupid. You know, I was like, yeah. No. Is if I can get on stage and I ain't got one skinny forearm, and as long as I can almost close my hand, I can pose, and I'm good with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's what they did. So everything that you see here is them, you know, weaving wire. Well, first getting in there to see what it looks like, reset it, and then weaving wire from this side through all the way to the other side, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
So I go Tuesday to get the images. I'm interested to see exactly how they got everything in there too. And so the guy was like, look, when you go to the gym, he says, just base it on how it feels. He said, put your soft splint on. He said, and use those straps. Look, I was pulling up Seth on YouTube videos and showing the straps and shit.
Just show how to use the isolator?
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, everything that they showed was like chest and back workout, you know, shoulder stuff, but it wasn't like arm stuff, you know. But I explained. He's like, yeah, put your splint on and that'll take the pressure off of the actual area that the strap goes around and try it, you know. So that's where we are now. But this is what he told me. He says, here's what you got to think about. If this show is in December and you push it, get to the stage in December, and then you have career-long issues later because of that, he said, how worth it was it? You know what I mean?
And but it's not even – that's not even the point. I don't see how – I don't even see how you get to the stage. Like, you can't train. You can't grip anything.
So I can train legs. I can do shoulders, handless, you know, and I was just going to do isolation movements. Like, I've been to the gym. I train legs. I train abs. I do like one-arm shoulder stuff, even with this combo. I mean, one-arm chest stuff. But can I go heavy? No. But I was thinking, can I have enough tension to be able to maintain what I have enough to get there?
Okay, you know? this is my thought process. You get very, very emotional about your placings and the way you look at shows, right? Yeah. So my worst placing ever was the time I had an injury and I decided to try and compete anyways.
Yeah.
Like my worst look ever. When I tried to do the Arnolds with a torn quad, my legs looked small.
And nobody gave a fuck. Nobody give a fuck that you, look at what you've been through. Yeah.
No, nope, nobody fucking, because half the people don't know. So most people are like, why does he look like shit? That's all they think. So you're going to go compete against the best bodybuilders in the world. And you're like, but I can do one arm this and fucking half weight this. And it's like, it's not, you're going to end up looking like at, I know you love your percentages. You're going to end up looking like 60%. And then people are going to say, he looks like shit. And you're going to get all bent about it.
Let me tell you my thought process, and which is, because I think sometimes, man, the universe or God, whichever one you want to call it, they put people in your life, you know? And so talking to you, and I want to tell everybody this because it was just us, but maybe it could be valuable for some people. You know, all year I've been on a mission doing, my team was supporting medical centers doing virus testing. So we were doing like security and traffic control, setting up testing sites for them. And as the people come, you know, we keep everything locked down for them all over my state. And I knew that, okay, coming up in November, I'm going to have to stop so I can prep. You know, I want to have this time focused just on that. And listen, the day before I got hurt was the day that I came off the mission. Okay. Mm-hmm. What are the two things, you know, that I consider a career? Bodybuilding and the Army. So I just came off my mission. You know, I left my team. And so what's left? Bodybuilding. That's what, you know, I put all my focus in. So when that part is taken away, I felt the word is worthless. Like, okay, well, what good am I? Mm-hmm. You know. And listen, day one, I came off the mission. Day two, I got hurt. Day three, Aaron texts me and says, hey, we're going to need some weekly videos going up into the Olympia. Yeah. I was like, shit.
Yeah, that's
I hadn't told him I got hurt yet. So I was like, fuck, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And how can I even make videos that look worth a damn? Everybody's going to find out I'm hurt and people's going to be talking shit. That's what the fuck you get. You should focus on bodybuilding and blah, you know, all of this other stuff. So what the fuck am I going to do? And I just found myself stuck in this. When I teach resilience classes, we call it catastrophic thinking. I was stuck in this loop of everything that's going to go wrong. You know what I mean? And I talked to you and you said, fuck, why don't you just make videos about your recovery, you know, and your training and everything leading up to you recovering and getting ready for the Arnold. And it made perfect sense. However, you know, I still had to get out of my shell for that shit, you know? So it just became, for me, it became fuck for a while. Help me get out of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Help me get out of this jam. And I feel like such a bitch, man, because in real life, I'm nothing like this. You know what I'm saying? I ain't scared. I don't give a fuck about nobody. Like, you know, when people talk shit, I talk shit back, you know, and embarrass them and pee on them. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck, you know. But when you're stuck with only social media world, I feel so vulnerable, man. You know
the, But you know the social media world's not any fucking different, right? It's not any different. It's still the same fans that you see at the expos. Well, some fan will walk by and give you a nasty look, and the next 50 fans will walk by and want to take a photo. It's the same. It's the same shit.
Yeah, and I made a promise to myself, and you've told me this many times. You have 1,000 comments, and you focus on the two shitty ones from somebody who's probably like, you know, whatever. They just like to fuck with bodybuilders. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I said, stop focusing on all of the bullshit and honor the people that actually support you, because it's actually disrespectful to ignore everybody that cares so much and focus on these two motherfuckers that don't give a fuck about you.
Can I tell you something? I just want to interrupt for 1 second because I want to tell you something about that. So there was a day, and I remember this day specifically. It was like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks. I can't remember. It was when I was dieting. I posted a photo, and there was like 200 comments. And I was scrolling through, and, you know, everybody's like, you look great, blah, blah, blah. And then I found one where the guy's like, you look like shit or something. He's like, you look small. You look like you're 200 pounds, something. He said something stupid. And I was started to respond to him. And I thought, and I literally, I swear to God, I thought this while I was responding to him. I thought, why did I just skip over the 95 other comments where people were like, you look good? I stopped responding to the guy. I actually just restricted him. So now his comments just don't show up. But I went back and liked every other comment and responded to the ones that had something to respond to. Yeah. And that's, you just touched on exactly the most important point, is when you give the shithead so much attention, not only is it like hurtful to yourself, but it's kind of disrespectful to all the people that just said you look awesome.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And you know what, if you spend your time focusing on all of the people that support you, you don't even have time to keep up with this one motherfucker, man. And you know, Seth, it's not fair, because you got the fuck out before this social media shit got heavy, man. So
you're wrong. Seth's in the thick of it, man. Seth gets more.
That was going to be my question. Do you have to deal with this shit too?
Dude, go look at his fucking comments. It's like, if he posts something, he gets like 500 comments. I'm sure 50 of them are fucking assholes. Maybe not 50.
Well, it's okay. But it's so common, because the biggest issue is that this is our heart and soul. So that we pour so much into it. And you know, the internet has created this environment for greatness to occur, for us to put on display, you know, our best at everything that we do. And of course, we're up for scrutiny. And most people look at us as fictitious people because we've achieved these things, and they put us on a pedestal whenever we're just regular people doing regular people things. However, we are achieving some pretty incredible feats. But those people that like say negative shit, of course, I mean, I still focus on it here and there, and I see myself, like, I let the little bit of doubt creep in. But at the end of the day, you know this, both of you guys know this. I coach my kids up this way too. Like, no matter what occurs today, whether it was good or bad, whether you took first place or got an A on a test, got an E on a test, bombed an event in gymnastics, you still have to wake up the next day and go to work. You still have to put that time in. So if someone calls me a piece of shit, if someone says that I'm an asshole or I had a bad day or anything of that occurred, I have to live with the consequences, the results of what occurred, and then still go to work, because I have a lot of people that do support me. My family loves me, and I have to continue to work. So no matter what occurs, win, lose, or draw, good or bad, I still have to go to work tomorrow, just like everybody else, because all of us are in positions of superiority within our circle. So that means that there's people that rely on us to be super, like, to be the best that we can be. So I can't focus on those people that don't like me, because if they don't like me, if I did fuck up, if I did make a mistake, or I made a huge mistake here at work, whatever it may be, I have to correct it and move on. I can't dwell. If I dwell, I will lose. Just like everybody in the world, they'll do the same. They'll lose.
So would you say, and this is for you and for Fua, would y'all say that y'all have successfully been able to block that shit out mentally enough to be able to do everything that you want to do. And what I mean by it is just like yesterday morning, I said, I need to make a post. What can I make a post of? Maybe this. Maybe I could say this. Maybe I could do this. And I talked myself out of it thinking of what would people talk shit about of that thing.
Don't ever, do that.
Not doing nothing. So you don't, you can.
Listen, can I tell you something? A long time ago, it was on Get Big. Remember Get Big, the yeah. forum?
Yeah.
There was a thread about Dorian Yates, I think. And in the thread, all they were doing was shitting on Dorian Yates and Ronnie Coleman. And I'm like, and I was still like, I think it was my first year as a pro. And I think I'm like, at that point, I realized there's absolutely nothing I can do to not get someone to talk shit. Yeah. You even posted a thing. I think you posted a picture of like a field of grass and you were like, let's see what you guys can say. Yeah. And you're like, let's see if you guys can find something to bitch about. Listen, I'll tell you the truth. I haven't mastered ignoring those people, but I don't let them dictate what I'm going to post or what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So that part I've mastered, because like yesterday I did a podcast with the carnivore diet doctor, right? I cannot believe the fucking anger on some people just from this thing. And I'm like, look, it's just a diet, man. You don't have to follow it. He's not telling you like follow it or you're going to die. Like he's just saying, this is my diet. This is what I like. Like, but people are fucking losing their mind. So it's like, no matter what you do, no matter what you post, no matter what, like, I'm just trying to help, right? I'm just trying, like, hey, you come on my show, tell everybody about your diet. Some people will like it. Some people won't. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. But people are fucking losing their shit. So I realized that I'm just going to post what I want to post, whether it's on Instagram or YouTube. But the only part I haven't mastered yet is there are days, like I woke up this morning a little bit disturbed. I was like, man, I can't believe how many people are fucking angry about this interview.
Really?
So I went for a drive. Like I went to do my cardio, but before I went for my cardio, I went for like a 20 minute drive.
Yeah.
And then as I was driving, I'm like, I'm in my
truck. That's a dad move. Good
job. I'm not even a dad. So
that's a good move, though. I like it.
So I'm going for a drive. I'm in my truck, and I'm like, man, I really love this truck. And then I'm like, no, seriously. And then I thought, man, I have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And then I started being thankful for like my business and my wife and my house and my success, and all of a sudden, all the people that were angry about the fucking podcast, I could give a fuck about.
Yeah.
So
because it's a percentages game, right? Like if you touch 100,000 people, then there's going to be a small percentage of negativity with it, and as you grow, it's going to be that
negative, that percentage is going to grow.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think about it sometimes. Sometimes like it's overwhelming to me, and I'll sit back and I'll go, I wonder how Rich Piana dealt with it.
Fuck, man. I was right? just thinking about him. Yeah.
Like Rich Piana is probably the most polarizing figure in bodybuilding because he spoke in absolutes.
For sure.
He didn't give any leeway. He would be like, you got to eat big to get big or else you suck. There was no like in between.
Yeah.
So he had 50% of people fucking hated him and 50% of people loved him, but he didn't give a fuck. And I,
that's, do you think he truly didn't give a fuck? Or do you
I
think
do.
He
I do. I do, because I've seen him in public and he seemed very okay. Nobody will ever know, like only he knows.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could do what he did every single day and like if it really affected him.
Yeah.
Because look, you're somebody that
I think sorry, also, go ahead. Rich was a good dude. Like he was crazy. We're all crazy. Don't get that twisted. But Rich was a good dude. And I think that like his, every time that somebody would try and prank him or fuck with him or anything, it kind of showed that the dude was actually like a good guy that wanted to see people do well. He just was, he was definitely a character, and that was a persona that he had, who he was, and he didn't deviate. Like he wore it on his sleeve and wore it hard. Like, but he genuinely, everybody that I talked to that knew him well, I never met him or anything, but they said dude was a good dude. Like super guy, like actually had a big heart for good people.
Yeah.
And that's all you can ask.
Listen, I honestly think, Cedric, I deal with it every fucking day. And doing this podcast, when people come on, I have to defend them. Like inevitably, when I post this podcast, people are going to comment and go, oh, you guys are bitches or something. And I'm going to have to defend us. Right. Like, so like every time I have a guest on, I have to go play police on my comments section because I don't like people talking shit.
Yeah.
But they all do it, like, not all, but there's always somebody who does it, and you just got to live with it.
But Fuad, do you really have to? Because when you defend it, you make that bullshit live longer, right?
Like, it depends. If somebody's just like, Cedric's a fucking cocksucker, fuck that guy, then I'm not going to defend it. I just delete it, right? I just, like, I block the guy, and I get rid of it. Yeah. But if somebody actually has something to say that sounds like I should correct him, then I'll go in and say, no, you're wrong, blah, 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 right? Like, so,
and you got to remember that a lot of people don't have as many wonderful things going on in their life as what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty sound and we're very well aware of our surroundings and our situations. We're all over the age of 30. And it's kind of like, once you break that barrier 30, you get older, you start living a little bit more and you understand life and how it's not always polite. Some people that have bad days or just are in really rough spots attack anything that they feel they should just to make their day better. And that's kind of how I deal with it. I'm like, dude, if you're having a bad day and you need to fucking hate on me, go ahead, bud, because at the end of the day, like, my kids love me.
You know what?
My business is doing well, and I don't have any problems, man. Ain't nobody dying in my life, dude. I'm very lucky because I know people that have really rough times, and I couldn't imagine going through what they're going through. And if somebody just wants to tell me I'm fucking short, fat, wide-waisted white dude, I look like a garden gnome, anything that they want to say to fuck with me, I'm like, all right, dude, it's cool. Good. I hope you have a better day. I hope you get your dick sucked by your wife. I hope maybe you get a promotion at work. I hope you buy a new truck. Do something cool. Like, I want to see, okay, I want to see people do well because, bad situations. I was negative at one point. I ain't gonna have it no more.
I have a question before you go ahead, Cedric. How the fuck do you deal with, you know, you told me a story last time you were on the podcast about the team that the team you're a leader of in the military, and how you go in and you clean up, like, and you defend, like, a war area, like a battle area, right? How the fuck do you do that and command, like, grown men? And then you're like, this guy on Instagram said I'm an asshole. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, how does that, those two people, like, how do they connect?
I've asked myself that so many times. And the only way I can make sense of it is, you know, I'm an artist, right?
Yeah.
The only way I can make sense of it is if I was to paint a picture on a wall downtown, I would worry about how people felt when they view this art that I created, which is completely different than working a job. You know what I mean? Like, in the military, like,
but wait a minute, art is subjective, right? Like, your favorite piece of art I might think sucks.
100%. But when an artist creates something, I believe most of them create it with the hopes that everyone will like it as much as he liked it when he created it.
Yeah, but an artist has to know, like, look, I know that no matter how great I was as a bodybuilder, somebody is not going to like my physique.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look at it. Let's flip it from art then, because most artists are really quiet, and let's switch it to something like music. And let's think about somebody like Prince or Michael Jackson or somebody like that. Now, I know some people said Michael Jackson was crazy as fuck, but something that Chris Aceto told me, he said, you know, guys like Elvis and Prince and Michael Jackson, they have the worst anxiety in the world. How the fuck is that possible when you're the best at what you do? And he said, it's simply because you are passionate and you care about what you do and you care about how people feel about what you do. So when you do that, you allow yourself to be vulnerable to people's opinions. Mm. Even though you may be the best, you know, the fact that you care about your creation is going to make you vulnerable for that. And so in bodybuilding, in turn, it all turns us into artists in a sense, because we're trying to create this look that we want to be approved. Mm. We know some people ain't going to like it. We know some judges ain't going to like it. We know some people ain't going to talk shit. But for some reason, you know, when that stuff happens, it bothers. I know it bothers me. Now, there's probably some bodybuilders who could care less, you know,
So everything you're saying is true.
Yeah.
The difference is not that. So I don't know if the difference is that some people don't care and some people do care. I think the difference is
how they react.
That's right. What you do with it. Like, I always tell people, fear is a good thing. Negativity is a good thing. Yeah. Some people are like, I want to be positive all the time. I'm like, no. Go ahead and tell me I'm a piece of shit, because I'm going to turn that shit into energy and I'm going to get even better. right? And I don't mean just in bodybuilding. I mean, like, maybe my business will get better, maybe whatever, but like, I don't think there's anything wrong with fear. I don't think there's anything wrong with negativity. It depends what you do with it. Sometimes fear can be crippling, and that's what you're talking about. You're like, you're scared to post because you're like, I don't want to deal with any type of shit.
Yeah, right, exactly. But in the Army, I don't give a fuck what the mission is. I don't care how big my team is. I know I'm going to kill it. I know it. I don't give a fuck what level of command I have to go talk to and tell them what the fuck the problem is or what they need to do to help me, you know, whatever. I can go in there standing so tall and so confident, no problem. But
I have I know why though. I think I know why. There's a level of control. You're so proficient at what you do in the Army that your level of control is, you're confident in it. You're like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I got to tell those people to do. I know what the mission is. I know how to finish it. But you don't have the same control in this because it's subjective in opinion.
It's opinion based. There you go. It's opinion based. And in the Army, if you're fucking good and you're getting shit done, there is no argument in that. Shit is getting done. But with bodybuilding, you could look great and somebody else is there, but I don't like, you know, that opinion is what fucks it up, you know?
Yeah.
It's also based on a passion in business.
Yeah, true too. Yeah. So look, here's a question.
Wait, I think he's cut out for a sec.
In business, your business being the military, how about you back?
Yeah, you're back. Go ahead, Seth.
God damn it.
It's okay, you're back. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that the passion.
Yeah.
The passion part is for me where it's like, I see the difference, but because in business, I don't have any fucking emotions.
Yeah.
There's no emotions allowed in business because you have people that rely on you. So you become emotionless and you do what needs to be done for the betterment of the situation. But in bodybuilding, we, you know, have passion, especially with, you know, whenever you're making posts and you're talking to people, this is what you love to do. So if you hear one negative thing, you're like, why the fuck are you fucking with me? I'm here trying to better everything going on and you're just being a dickhead and it drags you down and it drags you from that positive. But I think for me, at least, it's always been a passion based thing. Like if I'm passionate about something, most of the time, anything that I do, I'm very passionate. But if whenever it comes to like a business situation, such as, you know, the military stuff you do, you're like, no, this is what the fuck needs done right now. And there's no ifs, ands, buts or anything about it. I know what the fuck I'm supposed to do and you're going to do it.
So
that's a control factor as well.
That makes sense, Seth. Cause then you know what? There's no room for error and there's no room for bullshit. You just, that's it.
Because Cedric, I'm guessing that the only reason that you've been in this situation where you know exactly what to do at the exact right time is because you fucked up that many times or watched people make mistakes previous and you're like, no,
well,
I got too many people to rely on.
Well trained. Yeah. You know, give me, and in fact, I welcome challenges because I know it'll make me better. And I like when you have difficult situations. I love trying to problem solve and force bad situations to become good because it just makes me better. Like I thrive on it and I love it, but I'm the complete opposite in bodybuilding.
Hey, can I ask you a question? If you're building one of your houses in the backyard, like you always do, if I said that house sucks, would it upset you?
No, because it's awesome. But
we're building it in carpentry shit. I'm a perfectionist, right? And so, there's been times I build stuff and I've had pro guys come by and I'm like, hey, check this out. Well, this ain't right. That ain't right. And that ain't right. And I can accept it because I feel like, well, I'm still learning and I'm still trying to become better. So it's cool. You know, it has a completely different energy on it. And I can continue to build stuff without being stressed out from it. You know, like, okay, this shit ain't working. I got to tear this whole motherfucker down and start over, you know?
Wait a minute.
And I can enjoy that process.
You just said something I thought of. Do you think with bodybuilding, it's because we are doing our best and we are giving our best and we're trying our best, and for some people, it's still not good enough?
Because it's a stupid-ass opinion.
What did you say, Seth?
He just said whenever he has pros come by and take a look at his carpentry work, he doesn't take it as he takes a critical, but it's constructive criticism from another professional. That's like one of us looking at each other and saying, like, whenever you send me a picture or you see something, like, dude's looking good, man, I'm pumped, but he's got to get this much better. And we're all going to be like, yeah, you see it. Yeah, yeah, whereas yeah, if some Jewish folk came down and started criticizing his house, it'd be like,
So if Fuai says, "Hey Cedric, you look good, man, but try to get it. You need to be drier, man. Just straight up. You got everything else. Just try to be drier." That to me is something that I can work with more than somebody saying, "Fucking Cedric is never in shape."
You'd still, I mean? You'd still be pissed off at me if I said that, though.
No, because I can handle that. Because I would be frustrated with myself, but I can handle that versus never in shape. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, all of us are in shape. What the fuck do you mean? You know? But so look, so I want. It's not really a secret, but it's kind of a secret. So I hired a hypnotist.
That is a secret. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So this guy, he's actually from Canada. I'm gonna get his information because I want to try to like document our sessions and stuff. And,
What is it for? For this?
Sports hypnotism. Yeah. So basically,
I did that before, by the way, just for the record.
And I think, and I am very pessimistic about it. However, I want to try it. So here's the theory. The theory is if you have the ability to apply confidence and bulletproof yourself in any other situation in life where you have to perform, like the military, then you just need to try to apply that to other parts of your life. Yeah. And so it's just there's blocks and obstacles in the way. Like maybe it could be your passion, or you know, maybe you got self-confidence issues that's keeping you from applying that. So we're gonna start. You know, I talked to him a few days after it was before I got hurt. Because I wanted to start going into the prep. And then when I got hurt, he says, "Let's see how your surgery goes. And after that, we're going to pick up." So our first session is tomorrow. And so I was wondering if you guys ever, you know, went to therapy. Like, I don't believe you guys have confidence issues to where you need to go see a therapist for confidence.
Well, it's all related, Cedric. It's all related. Like, if you have, when people say I have anxiety, anxiety is usually related to self-esteem. Right? Yeah. So, like, I mean, maybe not everybody's, but my anxiety, for example, like I would get nervous going to certain places because of the way I thought people were looking at me.
Yeah.
So at its root, that's a self-esteem issue. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I think confidence and self-esteem is the root of all of those types of issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seth, would you agree that anxiety, your anxiety or any anxiety you've experienced is based in confidence or self-esteem?
Yeah, I agree with that to a certain degree. It plays a huge role with everything. I know me personally, like I just tore my tricep. I'm recovered from it. It's been 6 months now. Everything's great, back at it. But I always had the issues like self-confidence. It's within all of us. Whenever I went through the bullshit with my ex, and then it completely changed my life. I was the only person that my children could rely on. Just me. It was only me. It was the lowest I've ever been in my life. It was the worst. It was the worst point ever. It was the worst I've ever felt. I watched my kids go through things I didn't want to have to watch them fucking go through. All of these things. And through that negativity, that really bad situation, that's whenever I was like, maybe this was a good thing. Because I found more out about myself than ever before. And I realized that whenever a real problem comes into the world, like a real problem, nothing else matters. Yeah. Like when a real problem arises, death in the family, your close family lives are threatened, a debilitating disease. Whenever these things arise, everything else becomes, doesn't even fucking exist. And at that time, you could have told me anything. And I'd have been like, doesn't matter, dude. Yeah. That's not a real problem. Yeah. I have a real problem at home. I have a real problem to deal with. I never want to see anybody, even my worst enemies, go through these negative things. So now whenever things arise, I'm like, all right, let's move past it. And it built my confidence into being this person where nothing is ever going to put me in that down as far as I felt at that point. So from here, everything's great. And I think that why whenever I see like somebody that's in a shitty situation, let's talk it out. If you're feeling like it's a problem, let's move through it and build you, because you know, Cedric, you've been in the military dealing with seeing the craziest shit, and you have to rebuild really bad things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just that's what built me into who I am, from having a really, really shitty situation.
Yeah, you know, one thing
and
with the military is it takes, well, like I said, we teach something called resilience. And basically what it's about is thinking rationally. And a lot of times when we have anxiety or depression, we're thinking irrational. We're thinking about the worst that could possibly happen, and we're not thinking about the most likely to happen, you know? And and so our fears are based on, you know, the worst possible situation occurring. And so how do we deal with it? So, you know, people have PTSD, and what do they feel like? They're sad about some shit that happened in combat, you know, things like that. Well, let's think rationally. Are you in combat again? No. Are you home? Yes. Do you feel like you're going to get blowed the fuck up? Sometimes. But how likely is it for you to get blowed the fuck up at home? It's not likely. Okay, so start operating with that in mind. There is no fucking bomb here, you know? So when you feel like there may be one, remind yourself of what the reality is that you're living in now, and not allow the old fears to affect, you know, the current situation.
You know what you just said? I talked about this book on the podcast before. There's a book that helped me with my anxiety more than anything else. It kind of was like the catalyst that made me start to feel better. And it's called The Power of Now. And basically, get it on audio if you don't want to read, or get the book. It's fucking amazing. It basically talks about what you just said.
Yeah.
When you have anxiety, you're either thinking of something in the past that happened, or you're waiting for something that's going to happen in the future. Yeah. Which is kind of like when you're posting, right? You're like, you want to post something, but you're like, what's the reaction going to be later?
Yeah.
It's like, just sit there and fucking post, and just worry about what you're posting in that moment. Don't worry about the fucking reaction's going to be later.
Yeah.
So that to me helped more than anything. But
okay, I got a question for y'all. If you could choose, would you rather be, and we can talk about, for whatever reason, we can talk about it. Would you rather be a pro in the fucking 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, or would you rather be a pro in this time? For whatever reason, you could say back then because, or you could say now because. I would rather have been in the old days for many, 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 many reasons.
That's tough. You know, honestly, I kind of got to live both things because not because I'm that old. No.
Not showing my age. No.
I'm just saying because my career kind of took place in the middle where the contracts and the magazines kind of started to end, and then social media took over. So I got a taste of both.
Yeah.
What I will say is you could be lazier and make a fucking great living and focus on just bodybuilding back in the day.
Mm.
Now you have more opportunities to make money, but you have to hustle more, but you're also a lot more connected. So if you like being connected, then it's better.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know which one I would pick, because personally for me, I love bodybuilding, but I also love having like so many different avenues to like make money.
I don't have, I'm with you there. We all turned pro around the same time. So we all knew the magazine contracts were cool. The mailbox money, all that happy shit. But I think I definitely like the anticipation from back in the day of never seeing anybody. And then showing up on stage, like you had no fucking clue what was going to happen. I remember waiting to go buy magazines to find out what occurred at a show a month ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but,
and if I was a pro back then,
but wait a
it
minute.
Would be cool to have like Dorian Yates, they called him the fucking shadow because he never came out until show day. Like, that's cool. You know, nowadays that wouldn't fly today. That everybody's like, why isn't he posting? He's just trying to hide what he doesn't have. Or so, but then again, today I'm like, I love it because we're so connected with everybody, and the internet has created these opportunities to become these people that we are, and have these ability to reach so many people and go to a show and be able to connect with fucking thousands of fans. So it's got its ups and downs. But if I was a hardcore competitive bodybuilder, like that's all I did was compete. Back in the day, it was pretty cool. I like the clothes a lot too.
If you're just a hardcore bodybuilder, then yeah, back in the day is the way to go. But listen, think about it, man. You know, we're talking about shows. Right now, I do breakdowns leading up to shows, and I'll have some of the guys on before the show, And fans get fucking excited because then they get amped up. They're like, oh, fuck, Ian was just on the show, and then Hunter was just on the show, and they're going to do Tampa Bay this weekend. Then more people actually watch the show because they start to get invested in the guys, right? So there's that.
And then
also, I feel like YouTube kind of gives you a platform to, like, tell people who you really are. Because back in the day, the magazines told everybody who you were. And you had no personality, and you had no outlet, you had no platform to talk about what you want to talk about. There's so many positives and negatives to both. Like,
I believe with the limited access, there was no room for anybody to do anything but love you.
No, that's not true, man.
Bullshit. Listen.
They hated you, but you couldn't hear them.
When I see you so much, I can start to nitpick you. When I see once a month, I can't do anything.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. But okay. So there's two parts to what you're saying. So the reason I know you're right is because when we travel to Europe, the fans there are like so happy to see us.
Yeah.
Because they get such little access. So
hey, what happened when you do a guest appearance at the gym in your city? How the motherfuckers be looking?
There's like two people there. There's like nobody fucking gives a shit.
Motherfucker hating on you and shit.
I know. No, so I know you're right. I know you're right that way, but it doesn't mean that like Kevin Lavroni didn't have fucking haters. They nobody could hear them.
I don't think so. I think because there was such limited access to this and everybody was so interested and so happy to see them when they
I think
it was all love. I think it was all love. It was no time to hate. Plus, there was a different generation back then and there were less people so free to speak their bullshit. You know, people, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. That shit still matters. Wait a minute.
The other reason I think you might be right is there was no other shit. It was just bodybuilding. There was no classic. There was no men's physique. So the people that were following the sport were actually really passionate about the sport. So they might have been
if you think about the crowds back then, there were a lot of just regular people that wanted to go see the bodybuilders.
Yeah, but they were passionate about it. They were passionate about the bodybuilders though, right? Like now you might get like, 25% of the audience might be men's physique fans. So then when you see the open bodybuilders come out, they're like, oh, that guy looks like shit. Yeah.
So just speaking on the crowd alone, one reason why I like the old days better than now is because it would be a bunch of people that admired bodybuilders and wanted to go see the show. Now, 100% of the show is other fucking bodybuilders. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These motherfuckers nitpicking you. They nitpicking you like, I should be up there or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Versus a crowd full of people that just appreciate.
I'm glad you brought this up, Cedric, because me and Seth have been.
I want to ask a question.
Go ahead, Seth.
You guys, like, we're talking about like spectators and stuff and people haters and all this shit. Have any of you ever gone to something like I rarely go somewhere and nitpick the ever loving fuck out of it. No. Like if I go somewhere, I'm generally like pretty into like, I'm like, if I'm going to see a movie, even if like I'm going to see a movie that like Hannah wanted to and I don't, I'm like, all right, well, I'm here. So I'm going to make the best out of it and I want to see it. So, all right, cool. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
If I don't like it, I'm like, I'm just not into it.
Okay. I got you, Seth.
And then if I go to a men's physique show, I don't like men's physique. I'm not like a huge fan. But if I go, I'm going to be like, bro looks pretty good.
You judge them nicely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So watch this. Here's the difference. We'll make it.
What's in people that makes them do that?
I can tell you why. Because the dynamic. Imagine if we go see a movie and everybody in the movie that's watching is fucking movie producers.
they're more critical,
and actors, okay, versus a bunch of people that just want to enjoy the movie. You got a bunch of motherfuckers that's analyzing. You see what I'm
saying?
That's the dynamic of the crowd now.
It's just me personally. If I go and I see you and I'm like, oh man, Cedric's off, I was like, dude's just he's this just isn't his fucking show. I'm gonna be like, I hope he nails it later. I'm not gonna go like, did you see that piece of shit on stage? I don't understand that. I don't get the disconnect of why people want to be so negative with it. And I'm just like, man, like,
I can answer that.
Yeah.
When you see Cedric on stage or I see you on stage or whatever, and you're off, the reason I'm not going, oh, fucking Cedric was like shit, because I understand what it took to get there. And I understand that you can miss a mark, and I understand how hard he had to diet, and you understand what the person's gone through. The fair weather fan, or the guy that's never fucking committed to a show or dieted for a show or anything, can't fucking feel that. So they're just like, they're flipping about it. They're like, ah, he looks like shit. They don't understand that, like, a lot of heart and soul went into that, even if he missed the mark by 1% or 5% or whatever, right? The problem I have, though, is, and I wanted to ask Cedric about this because me and Seth have been talking about it, is, and Cedric, I'm only asking about this because you sent me a text one day and you said, and I remember specifically, you said to me, one day when I retire, we'll run this shit and we'll be nicer to the young guys.
Yeah.
And I know kind of what you're getting at, but I feel like that's a big part of the problem, because there are people sitting in the audience that do know what the fuck we're going through and still don't have that respectful.
We're gladiators. And I hate to say that, because we're not fucking tough guys just by getting on stage naked, right? But just, you know, we're the athletes. Somebody is supposed to help generate the support and the appreciation for what we do. You know what I'm saying? And when you got somebody that or people that could simply, you know, they could express their opinion in a way as if I was much better than that then, or, you know, different shit like that. And it changes it. And what we need is, you know, if we love this sport and we want it to grow, we have to find a way to remove as much negative energy from it as we possibly can, if we really want it to grow. Because right now we are already dealing with, you know, the fact that, oh, we're so fucking big and crazy looking that the sport shrank down to where your audience is just other fucking competitors anyway. We're already dealing with that. So what we need to try to do is make the sport more accepted and more appreciated. And I feel like when we are the ones commentating and interviewing and going to shows and doing all of this stuff, I believe we can take a stage full of people with different bodies, and some of them look shitty, and we can point out something good about those same bodies. Instead of shining a spotlight on what's not so good about them, we can shine a spotlight on what attributes they actually bring to the show. And this is what they used to do back in the 80s and the 90s. Listen, nobody looked amazing if you compare it to how we look now, like, because the conditioning level was different and stuff, but everybody brought something. Everybody brought something unique, and that the uniqueness is what was appreciated, right? Like, this dude right here got huge ass legs and that's it. But nobody's saying, oh, his upper body sucks. They're saying, fuck, I can't wait to see his legs again. This guy had an amazing back or whatever, or this guy had amazing abs, and nobody was saying, oh, he's all abs. They were like, fuck, I can't wait to see his abs. You know, because that is what was appreciated about them. And I wish we could get more into, you know, to that part of it. And I think we'll be successful at it.
Do you think that a lot of internet YouTube videos are people reviewing other people's music, they're reviewing movies, they're reviewing physiques, they're reviewing programs? All they're doing is reviewing all these things in their quote unquote reviews. But sometimes it's like a bash session. Yeah. Or sometimes it's like doing all the negative things that they've done. And these videos get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views. And I'm like, hey, this is kind of creating like a really negative environment, because we're reviewing other people's passions. Yeah. And if that person's a complete douchebag, like somebody's like creating fake programs and selling it, and then like somebody puts them on blast, that's one thing. But like these constant reviews of everything, I think that's a kind of a dangerous environment, and it creates this place for people to like, rather than be non-biased and just like tell everybody information, like a journalistic standpoint, becomes a review. And scary.
So Seth, what I'm able to do is, with the internet, I can make myself a self-titled analyst.
Yeah.
And all I really got to do is I got to follow everybody, put notifications on everybody, so as soon as Fuad throw his shit up, I can throw his shit up before anybody else can see Fuad's, and I can bring news, and I can put my spin or my opinion on what I see. Now I'm a famous, popular fucking analyst. And then you know what I got? At least a few thousand people that are, you know, feeling the same way as I do, simply because I was the first voice that they heard.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have you been at shows and, you know, people throw shit like, you know, back when MD or whoever used to cover shows, and all we will be doing is sitting on the forums waiting for a picture to go up and waiting for the commentary to go up, you know, with the picture. And they would say, oh, this guy looks like this. And people, look, I'm at the show. They look nothing like this picture right here. They actually look great. But yeah, because the first word you hear is that a particular opinion, then that's what people go with.
Yeah,
and
yeah. That's
the dangerous part about this generation is, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. I think people are really thirsty for that kind of shit though, Seth, like that negative review, the real, cause you know why? Like I had the Carnivore MD on, and a bulk of the comments were, you should have this other scientist on so he can debunk him and they can debate. And I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. I had one scientist on, he said his opinion. I had the other scientist on, he said his opinion. Why do they have to debate and fight and like, why do you have to debunk? I'm like, you can listen to the information and you can make your own fucking opinion.
Hoo-ah, because I don't want information. I want entertainment. That's why.
They want to see one guy shit on other guy. And I'm like,
it's entertaining.
That's not fucking helping anybody.
Think about it, man. Look at reality TV. What is it? A bunch of fake shit motherfuckers fighting.
Yeah. You know?
Come on, man. Think about it.
I find it crazy because, you know, Seth, I see those same videos and I'm like, this guy's entire platform is based on shitting on everybody else.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's entertaining. It is.
It is entertaining. It is entertaining.
But the problem is it's fucking with your psyche.
It is.
It's like watching porn every single day.
Yeah.
And then reality, like,
you know, do you,
every fucking day.
So, yeah, but it's like I go into reality. I'm like, so like I can't go ass to mouth and like and blow my load over you in the face and in your eyeballs.
Why you can't make your butthole do what that girl butthole did?
Now I'm the critic.
Hey, wait a minute.
Now, I review my life.
Wait a minute. A little off topic. So, if you watch porn, you guys watch porn every day?
No, not every day.
Cedric
no.
does. Does it fuck with you in the bedroom or no? You're like my shit. You're like you can't fuck sometimes, right? You're like, I better stop watching porn.
Do that.
And your girl's like, what's wrong with you? You're like, I've been watching too much porn. No, it's like really
you
just.
You need to quit looking at that porn, okay?
What did you say, Seth?
I can't do it. I was just saying it'll fuck with me. I'm like, man, that dude's dick was huge. Too much. I didn't know there's things could do that.
Whenever
you have that environment, it fucks with your psyche. So even if that video is entertaining of that person, it'll throw you off because then you start feeding into the negativity.
Yeah.
You start feeding it. You start kind of craving it. That's that weird shit where you like.
It's like junk food. It's like junk food for your brain.
Yeah. And listen. Here's something very, very important. I believe the people that love us and appreciate us the most are the quietest.
Oh yeah.
And we never get to hear them. So right now, even now, when we talk about the current environment, we have a skewed perspective of the environment because we can't go by all of the people that would rather not even be in the argument and stand up for us. We only hear the loud-ass, ignorant motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Cedric, I'm telling you, man, the number one reason I still post things, you have no idea. Listen, you have no idea how many times I've walked upstairs from a podcast and said, or from like answering comments and said to my wife, I'm not doing this shit no more.
Really, man?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I do all this shit myself. The camera, the lights, the editing, the fucking, the whole thing. I fucking do it myself. I spent money on all this crap. I have to get all the interviews. I have to fucking try and think of questions. Like, I'm not good at this stuff. I just wing it.
Yeah.
So
pretty good at it.
Well, the thing is, So when it's like that passion you're talking about, right? Because when I do something, I want people to like it.
Yeah.
So when you read in the comments and like 40 people are like, that was shit, that guy's shit, this whatever they're complaining about.
Fuck.
I go up to my wife and I'm like, I need a break. Yeah. I said this to her before my morning drive this morning. I said this to her when I was getting in my truck. She goes, what's the matter? I go, I think I just need a break from the podcast. And yeah. It's because of the fucking nonsense. But then it's what I said in the beginning of this podcast. I literally thought to myself as I was driving around, I'm getting dozens of messages every day from people about how much they love it.
Yeah.
So now I'm punishing all the fucking good people.
Yes.
Because of these fucking shitheads that are like the smallest amount of people, right?
Yeah. And you know, Fuad, we got to, you know, it's not easy to do when you work with a bunch of motherfuckers whose personalities you really don't like, right? But I think we have to start taking the time to empower each other. Sometimes.
What do you think I'm doing on the podcast? You don't come
exactly,
on.
Exactly. That's
yeah, my but point. If you came on once a week, we'd be fine.
Right. So like if what I need to do and what Seth needs to do is when we understand that you fucking struggling, it helps to every once in a while say, hey man, how you doing with this bullshit? You know what I'm saying? And hey, we're just hanging, you know what I'm saying? To give you that reminder that what you're doing ain't for nothing. And it ain't just for those stupid 30 motherfuckers that's talking shit. You know what I'm saying? To help to reinvigorate you. You get what I'm saying? To like help recharge you. And I think we kind of, look, my weaknesses are different from yours and different from Seth's. And if I had a weekly, like you said, a weekly conversation with you or a weekly conversation with Seth, it would help me get through my tough times and my weaknesses. But because we're all in our separate lives, you know, dealing with our own challenges, then we sometimes can get bogged down into our own fucking mud. You know what I mean? I honestly think we were designed in a way to where we have different strengths and weaknesses so that we can depend on each other and rely on each other to make it through, because that's how we're supposed to be as a community, you know?
Mm. And there's a whole lot of people out there that look to me, look to you, Fuad, look to you, Cedric, and they wait for a podcast. They wait for a post. They wait for the stories that you post, because we get to sit here and talk about our passions. I get to live mine out every single day. And these people sometimes work really, really rough jobs and they're in really, really bad situations. And all they're looking for is that video of you popping up going, what's up, dudes? Like just busting balls or being yourself, because that lightens up their day, because their day is actually kind of shitty.
But you'll never know.
You will though, Cedric. This is the thing. Dude, I got a message from a guy 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago. He's like, I'm going into heart surgery tomorrow. I just want to say thank you. I've been watching your podcast while I'm at the hospital and blah, blah. So I messaged him back. I said, dude, good luck with your surgery. Let me know when you're out.
Okay. Yeah.
He messaged me back yesterday. Hey man, post-surgery, I'm doing good. Sent me a photo of himself, like still in his gown.
Yeah.
That kind of shit feels good. And it's that guy that I think about when some cocksucker comes on and says, your show sucks. It's that guy that I think about.
Now here's what you don't know. There's 1,000 other motherfuckers that don't even have the courage to write you.
I do know that though. That's what I'm saying. I still keep going.
Yeah.
You
know,
this is what infuriates me about you.
Okay.
And I'm gonna talk about you like you're not here for a minute.
Yeah.
Cedric, and I'm sure Seth knows this from being at an expo with you. When you're at a fucking booth, not only do the fans gravitate towards you, but the people working at the company are waiting for you. Like you're leading the way. We talked about this last time here on the podcast. You're leading the way without even fucking knowing it. And you have like 600,000 followers on Instagram and you post like once a month. Like people are fucking waiting for you to tell them anything. Just be yourself. Like that. And that's the frustrating part to me is I'm like, man, if I was in Cedric's head, I would be at the top of the game right now. Like you're doing yourself a disservice by hiding is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. And I got to quit bitching about it too. Like, because that shit don't get us.
There's a whole lot of good people.
Yeah.
And the excuses don't go, but so far.
Okay. You know,
so
let me say this moving forward, because we are where we are and you're not going to do the show because you're injured. And I think that's a good call on your part. And I think Seth would agree with me on this. I think if you started doing weekly recovery videos, they would blow the fuck up. this is how I'm getting by this week. This is what my training looks like this week. This is what I did in rehab. This is what I know it sounds like a nightmare to you, but listen, the one thing you have is you have somebody willing to shoot it for you. You don't even have to do any of the fucking work.
Yeah.
You just have to.
If Cedric, you put out a video every single week of just you doing stuff, the big thing is, number one, anything that you do, people are going to gravitate towards because, bro, I'm genuinely like entertained by you, and I consider myself friend, distant. We haven't talked in forever, but like, bro, you're entertaining. It's fun to be around you. People like that. And whether a video starts out, if you just get 10,000 views on a video or 50,000 views on a video or 100 or 1,000,000, if you get 10,000 views on a video, and this is something that a lot of people misconceive about the internet because it didn't go viral. Bro, if you get 10,000, that's 10,000 people. I want you to line up 10,000 fucking people and look at them. I want you to line up 20,000 people and be like, man, there's a lot of fucking people there.
Yeah.
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 That's a lot of people. And if you have 100,000 views on a video, bro, that's a lot of views. 1,000,000, and you're like, oh, well, what about, you know, this person getting this many views, or I didn't get this many likes, or this or that. Like, that's something that has been created through social media. And I'm like, no. 10,000 people, 10,000 views is a lot of people that watch that video. Line up 10,000 motherfuckers.
But I don't even think you care about that shit, do you, Cedric? You just don't want to do it because you're scared at, not scared, but you don't want to deal with any kind of bullshit. But you don't really care if like
I'm fucking scared, man.
Yeah, like, but you don't really care if 100,000 or 10,000. You don't really give a fuck about the numbers,
well,
do you?
Well, what that does, the numbers put a value to me, it puts like a worth amount on your shit. So
don't let it do that, man.
I talked to the hypnotist. I said, look, this is what I have to do. I said, I've been avoiding it my whole fucking career, and now I got a boss that's like forcing me to come out of my shell. I said, so instead of me being the man I normally would, be like, you know what, just fuck it, I'll just, you know, go be a soldier. I want to try to attack this weakness that is obvious that I have. I said, so I need to be posting regular. I need to be able to be more open and come out of my shell, share myself, you know, with social media and stuff like that. And then the second part is I need to try to alleviate this anxiety when I go to compete because I feel like it affects how I look. And he says, well, let's work on that. Let's focus on it. He said, we can start out just what you said. Let's start out with the recovery videos. You know, and so I've already got my mind made up. Like, look, this morning I was like, nah, fuck, I'm not doing this podcast, you know?
That's why I text you. I'm like, are you still coming?
Well, I had to, right? Because you make me have to. I don't have a choice now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of like, and like, I wanted to text you last night and tell you, thank you for helping like pull me out of this shit, you know? And I hate for it to seem like I'm using you, but I kind of am.
Cause no, it's all good, man.
I really can't do this shit by myself, you know? And it's so weird. So,
can I say something to you real quick?
Yeah.
I just want to say something real quick. I lost a very good friend earlier this year because he wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah.
You understand? I asked him. People don't think I asked because the last podcast we did, or one of the last podcasts we did before Luke passed, yeah, he said some shit and we kind of laughed it off and whatever. But we had conversations and he wouldn't open up to me. Yeah. So if you need... That's why this is important, right? Like, and I'm not saying you're at that play in that place or anything, but look, man, you got a fucking problem. You got to talk it out. It's just the way it is. Like, I think it's silly to just kind of wallow or sit in your own shit and try and figure it out when you have friends there for you.
Yeah.
You know,
and we all think
you're a dad. You do dad shit. You don't look like a dad doing dad shit, but you are, you know, building a house on top of your house or all the gardening you do. It's like, you're doing like the fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger out in the fucking outside, big as fuck, over 6 foot tall, all jacked. And it's like in those times, whenever, if you put those on camera, if you put those small things on camera, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of just talking about what you're thinking about as you're doing it, because you're a pretty methodical person. You do things with purpose. You do things with passion. And I know that, like, even though I'm a fuck off in my videos, but the way I talk and the way I attack my day, my goals, I just do my personality. And I think that if you just put out like your thought process of like, why are you gardening so much? Why do you have a garden that's like fucking 50 by 100? Why don't you just hire somebody to build that? You know, go through those things. And I mean, bro, people connect with that, especially because you're doing so many different unique things in your life that are outside of the wheelhouse of many people. I mean, yeah. I watch YouTube videos. I watch a lot of different types of YouTube videos, and I don't know why I connect with them. They're just interesting to me. And I think that, I think you carry that quality. And I mean, if I was you, I would not hesitate in the slightest to go about it in that way.
Well, this
at all.
This is the thing. Like when I said, you know, film your recovery, that's bodybuilding specific. But if you really want people to connect, dude, I wish I could do all the shit you do.
Yeah.
If I could build a fucking, cool. if I could build a fort and like garden and like ride a motorcycle and like all the cool, like I can't do anything. I'm like eat and work out. That's it. Yeah. Like that's all I got. Yeah.
And you know what, man?
You have so many different things to film. I have nothing. Yeah, yeah. And I still managed to have a page. Like,
I get pissed off. Aaron's like, you need to post some stuff. And I'm like, fuck, man. You know, and,
You know how easy it is to film something? Watch. You're going to go out and garden, right? Put a fucking camera and put it on time lapse and let somebody watch you build your garden box.
And that's it. So here I am pissed off. And I'm like, okay, what do you want the video? What should I make? He said, bro, I don't care. Anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
You know what SciTech, you know what SciTech used to say to me? SciTech would be like, we want a video. I'm like, I don't know what to film. They're like, we don't care if you're sweeping your kitchen floor. We want you to film it. I'm like, yeah. Okay. And then I would do it and people would watch it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And so, it can't get no easier than that, man. Like it really can't, you know, and it's just me being a bitch about it. Like, oh, but what if, you know, and I gotta get out of that shit. I don't want to grow old, bro, like thinking about what I could have done, you know?
Yeah.
Don't read the comments. Don't read nothing. Just, you could put up a video garden and be like, I'm a gardener. That's it.
If Kai Green can put on a motherfucking afro and goddamn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And don't give a damn what nobody think, you know? Like, all right.
All right. So you got videos coming. You got videos coming, Cedric, right?
No bullshit. Like I'm doing it this time. Like, and I'm not bullshitting around. No
all right.
More.
Like, everybody that is watching this, subscribe to Cedric's YouTube channel. It's outdated, but it's gonna get repopulated very soon.
Hey, that motherfucker, man, they might be done shut it down by now. That bitch sold, you know, activity on it. But I'm definitely gonna work on it, man, for real.
All right, yeah. Cedric, it's good to have you on, Steph. Thanks for coming on impromptu visit. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Hey, look, and to, you guys, to all of your,
what's that?
To all of your to your podcast viewers.
Yeah.
I want to apologize for making this podcast into like a Cedric therapy session. But I want to make it up to y'all. You know what we're going to do? Me and Fuad are going to come up with like some topics and shit. And, you know,
just come on. We don't have to do that.
Right. It's might ask you some dumbass questions about what type of girl body, but I'm going to come up with some shit to fuck him up too.
That's what they like. Yeah. That's what they want to know.
Yeah. So let's try to make this a regular thing where we get on some time and talk about stuff, you know, and whether it be, you know, let's talk about different training styles, different diet styles, different.
Nobody,
you know,
wants to hear that shit. Nobody wants really? To hear that shit. Well, first of all, your theories are fucked up. And second of all, yeah. Cause Seth, listen to this. Cedric fucking texts me.
Come on, man.
Cedric texts me like 2 weeks out from the fucking Chicago Pro before I had pulled out. And he's like, I think you should train full body every day from here on into the show. I'm like, what?
No. Okay, wait, Seth. Wait, Seth. Listen, Seth. Listen to this theory.
Here we go.
All right, Seth, you have a very scientific mind. So I bet you when I'm done, you're going to understand this, okay? If you don't understand this, it means you're not very smart, okay? So.
I'm ready.
As you start to go low calorie, right?
Low
carbs and all of this shit.
Okay.
The main goal is to try to maintain muscle, right?
Mm.
Okay. So let's let all of the carbs and the nutrients that we're taking in go to muscle maintenance, not necessarily muscle repair. When you do a full workout, you're probably going to break down a bit of muscle tissue. True?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's do full body, but listen, full body, but only 1 to 2 sets per body part. And that one set is to complete failure. And that's it.
On every body part, every day.
Maybe one warm-up set and then one set to complete failure for quads. And then guess what? You're done. Move on to hamstrings. And do that one set for every body part daily. Yeah. Now, tell me that shit don't make some sense.
Don't make no fucking sense.
No sense.
I can't do it. I got way too much. I got way too much bro science in me. I'm going to bro split the shit out of this.
Bro split the shit out of it.
Fuck you guys.
I'm going to put that on a shirt. Your theory, Cedric, your theories since I've met you have been the most fucking out there theories I've ever heard. I love them.
See, I don't talk about them because then when I get my ass kicked, they say, oh, that's why he got his ass kicked, because he's training like that.
All right, guys. Listen, right, I got to go. I'm fucking going hypo. I got to go fucking eat.
Okay.
Right. I love you guys, man. Thanks for coming on.
Love you too, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you soon. Bye.